We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
My personality was to blame.
Call is that?
I was not afraid to say what was on my mind.
Boomer Esiason.
Esiason, wide open is Brooks. Boomer just threw that football up like it was on a hanger.
Host of Boomer and Geo, mornings on WFAN.
Hey, you see that Urban Meyer video?
Yo, I have not seen the video, no.
You saw the video. We all know you had to have seen that video, Joe. Come on. Anything else, Boomer, before we let his job?
I was just going to ask him about his defense.
1988 NFL MVP.
The Cincinnati Bengals AFC champions.
NFL All-Pro and four-time Pro Bowler.
Esiason, the talk of Cincinnati.
Analyst for the NFL Today on CBS.
There's Joe Burrow, the Cincinnati Bengals. He's thrown for over 2,600 yards, 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, completing a high percentage of his passes. He's the best quarterback in Cincinnati since Kenny Anderson.
You are on a roll already today. You insulted me 30 seconds.
It was a mistake, I swear.
Boomer Esiason with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
This hour of 670 The Score is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Joining us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, is that man, Boomer Esiason. What is wrong with Phil Simms, Boomer, to say that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with him. I have to work with him, and it's not easy. Somebody has to keep him in his place. But he always likes to take a shot at me once or twice during the show, and then I usually get him back somewhere along the line.
Okay, good, because that wasn't just an oversight. This is intentional. This is just giving you the business, because what are you, the new guy? You're the new guy or something?
Well, Phil and I here in New York got this thing going on, and it works pretty good for us. And it's a little bit feistiness going back and forth. And he has to remind people he was a Super Bowl MVP. I have to remind people that I was a season MVP. And 16 games counted more than one, but maybe not in his case.
So we had a third Sunday out of four with no Chicago Bears in this town, which is crazy and has to be a record. But in watching this, I just kept looking at Mac Jones. And are we now at a point where – and how much credit goes to him, how much credit goes to the system, and how much credit goes to just the entire Patriots thing?
Well, first and foremost, a lot of credit goes to him because he's the one that has to absorb all the knowledge, all the information, and he has to learn the game. And he's learning it very quickly, and he's a tremendous success. Now, but you have to understand that the New England Patriots rebuilt this entire team in the offseason. They spent $163 million in guaranteed money for guys like Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Aguilar, Matt Judon, all these players that are paying significant dividends for them. They kind of made their backfield a little bit. They also remade some of their offensive line. So they spent a lot of money. Now, you never know what you're going to get with one of these rookie quarterbacks, but I will say, and I said this at the beginning of the season, that if there was one rookie quarterback that was going to have success, it was going to be Mac Jones because of the experience on the coaching staff, the offense that Josh McDaniels runs, and the amount of money that they spent in free agency, not to mention the amount of players that they got back from the COVID list that they lost the year before. They lost 8 or 9 players to COVID the year before who opted out. So this team was ready to win. They just had to find the right guy to quarterback it. And when Mac Jones fell to them in the draft, it was like pure heaven for Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. And he has certainly answered every question that I could have ever had for him, because he's only gotten better as the season's gone on.
So you're saying that if you're a Bears fan, you should not be right now having any sort of feelings that maybe they made the wrong choice, because I'm not going to name any names. Somebody on this show might be feeling that way right now.
Well, Chris, welcome to you. And I just want to say, if I would have known you were in today, I would have called in earlier as opposed to later. That I would have told you. I was trying to get Danny worn out before I called in today.
I got you.
But
I got you.
In reality, though, I would just say it's all about a situation, the right player, the right coach. And I mean, we all know that Belichick and Saban are really close. I'm sure Belichick was told by Saban just how good this kid, Mac Jones, really truly was. And when you watch Mac, you know, he doesn't run around like a maniac. He isn't trying to extend plays. He's trying to play the position the exact way that Tom Brady plays the position, and that is stationary. And if you're going to move, you're going to move ever so slightly one way or the other, but you're going to get rid of the ball, and it's going to be on time. And I'm sure with the quarterback to communication device, Josh McDaniels is constantly in his ear, reminding him about certain things that they talked about leading up to the particular game and how they're going to work the game plan. You know, the kid is really dedicated. You know, that's what everybody in New England says. I think we all realize by watching him just how poised he is. He's poised beyond his years, but they got a good team, man. You know, this defense has been one of the best, if not the best defense. In the last 6 weeks, they've only given up about 60 points. And yesterday, yeah, they got run on, but, you know, they didn't want to get beat by Ryan Tannehill, because, you know, that's the only way they would have lost that game had Tannehill had a big game. And lo and behold, he had probably his worst game, or maybe second worst game of the year against that defense. So they're a great team. It's a great organization. That's a great coaching staff, and they plucked the right guy out of the draft last year.
Boomer, I thought of you during Thanksgiving week because our colleague Hub Arkish here at The Score reported that what had happened a few weeks ago was George McCaskey made the decision and told Matt Nagy essentially to start Justin Fields, to go with Justin Fields instead of Andy Dalton, who was returning from the injury. And Matt Nagy denied it. On Friday morning, he brought it up himself, brought up the report and denied it. But frankly, I don't buy that. A lot of people don't buy it. And if that is what happened, does that fit what you have been saying for weeks about the politics of the situation?
Yeah, 100%. So the owners are very aware of what's being said. You know, fans not only call the radio stations and go on social media, they actually contact the team directly through their PR staff, through all sorts of different ways, writing letters, all sorts of ways. And also claiming that they'll cancel maybe their season tickets, or maybe there'll be a company or two that will give back their skyboxes. You know, these are all the ways that owners know what's going on out there. It's not just through word of mouth and the radio. So I do believe that there is an immense pressure to start these young kids early for all the wrong reasons. And the wrong reasons is to pacify a fan base that is upset and has been upset for a number of years because of the lack of, consistent winning. So there's no question in my mind that, you know, if that's what Hub reported, he heard it from the horse's mouth, that I wouldn't be surprised. And, you know, I've worked with Hub for many years, and I wouldn't question, you know, his take on any of it. You know, and it's unfortunate what happened with Matt Nagy this week, by the way. I would never want to see a coach have to go through another week like Matt had to go through, and then, you know, supposedly going to be fired on Friday after the game on Thursday. When I heard that, I was like, this is ridiculous. This is not who the McCaskies are. This is not who the Bears are. They would never do anything like this. And that's why that report, when it initially came out, really did surprise me.
They would never, what, tell a guy that he's going to be fired and still ask him to coach a game a few days later?
Right, exactly. Well, I don't think they're going to fire anybody during the season. I mean, did they do that to John Fox? I don't think they did
no.
it to John Fox, did
no.
they?
No, they've never done it to anybody. Right, so. But you know, it could happen. It could still happen, and maybe it won't. But it's the... What is your take on how that played out? That was an incorrect report from Mark Conkle, the first guy from Patch.com. Is that what you figure?
Yeah, I don't know Mark at all, and I don't know. Okay. You know, I read about his. We all talked about it on NFL Today, and we talked about his legitimacy and everything. And everybody thought that he was a legitimate guy, and probably had some pretty good internal contacts. But those internal contacts obviously proved to be wrong, which is unfortunate for him, but really unfortunate for Matt Nagy. I mean, honestly, I know they get paid a lot of money. It's a job that you know when you take it, there's a very good job that in a short period of time, you're probably going to be fired. That's just the way it goes in this league, unless, of course, you find the quarterback that can rescue you. I hate when stuff like that is being said. And I know we openly talk about it because you guys ask me about it, and I try to be as honest and unbiased as I possibly can about it and give you reasons why coaches may struggle or quarterbacks may struggle. And I think I've probably, you know, been at this as spot on as anybody in, when it comes to the struggles of all these young kids and also the coaches that are trying to coach them. But, you know, in this regard about Matt Nagy, there's no way the Bears are ever going to fire a guy in season unless there's something really, really that goes haywire, like a reason why you would fire a guy that would be something off the field, not because of what's happening on the field. That's not how the old guard in the NFL works. You know, they're more patient than the young guards and the guys that have paid billions of dollars for these teams. You know, the Browns family, the Rooney family, the McCaskies, the Fords, you know, they may make mistakes in hiring people, but they're not going to embarrass somebody in the middle of a season, I don't think.
You don't think there's an advantage with the new rule that allows you to interview assistant coaches of teams in week 17, week 18? I think we might see some in-season firings approaching.
Well, yeah, but I don't think the Bears will do it because I just don't think it's in their history. You know, I know it's hard to think this way because, you know, we are media types. We deal with fans, passions. I'm a passionate fan myself. You know, my New York Mets signed Max Scherzer today, and they spent $130 million, and I'm over the moon over that because I want to see one of the great pitchers of our time in real life, and it's going to be amazing. But when I think about the Bears, I think about a dignity that is attached to that family. Whether we want to make fun of the winning and losing, that's one thing. But I do believe that old guard families believe in dignity, and they believe in morals, and they believe in ethics. And they just don't do things impatiently. Like I said, they may make the wrong decisions. They'll ride with those decisions a little bit longer than normal. But I do believe that there is a professionalism and a dignity that's attached to the Bears. You know, this is a legacy franchise. Whether you guys like it or not, this is how I see it from where I sit. It's a legacy franchise. It's been around for a long time. There's a lot of history there. It may not be great history. I understand that. But, you know, it's still history. And they're going to act accordingly. And firing somebody in the middle of the season or an embarrassment to his family or to whatever the negative aspects to that firing would be, they're not going to go down that road. They just won't. I just don't see it.
Boomer, I know that you've been, or your mindset is to be more cautious with these young quarterbacks. And, you know, allegedly, as we've already talked about, the edict was given to Nagy to start Fields. Well, now that he's got the injury, and they've said they want him to be, I think the exact words were 110% before he comes back and plays again, you know, with a rib injury. What is the right way to handle him now? Is it to just give him the ball back as soon as he's ready to go, despite how Andy Dalton plays in his absence?
Yeah, you know, the Jets just did this with Zach Wilson, and Zach Wilson was brutal yesterday. He's still not ready. But they had to do it because they have two guys that have COVID. Well, one has COVID, Mike White, and the other one is unvaccinated, Joe Flacco, who's under COVID protocol because he's unvaccinated. So I guess they really had no choice but to give Zach the ball back. And watching him yesterday, and I watched every one of his throws, he's still not ready. I mean, he is just overwhelmed, and it is obvious to everybody. And he's going to put himself in danger again, and he's going to get himself hurt again. And this is the thing that I always worry about it because these kids, they don't understand the quickness, the ferocity of the NFL field until they actually step on it and they try to do some things. They put themselves into bad situations and they take hits that they probably shouldn't take. So, I think they're going to put him back out on the field if he's ready. If his ribs are ready to go, they'll put him back out on the field. I don't think it will be this week, but maybe the week after, you know, and sitting and watching a little bit never hurt anybody. And Andy Dalton's still got a lot to prove, just like Joe Flacco did for the Jets a couple weeks ago. These guys could still play, but they're not going to excite the fan base like the way the rookie will. And I know the fan base is going to be pulling for Justin to get back on that field as soon as possible, which is the politics of the business. And that's just also the reality of the business.
So the L.A. Rams with three straight high-profile duds, although not quite a dud yesterday, losing at Green Bay, but still, three in a row are How do they right the ship? What the hell's wrong with the Rams as you watch him?
Well, how about Matthew Stafford? Three games in a row with three pick sixes. I mean, you know, that's unheard of. Nobody ever does that. And here's a guy that, you know, you've basically entrusted your entire franchise to, and he's supposed to be the difference maker. You know, and there's a little something about Matthew Stafford. I mean, you know, he's a good player. He's got a great arm. But is he going to be able to win? He's never won a playoff game. Is he going to be able to win in a high-profile, high-tense game? You know, and that's the real question. And I was watching Sean McVay on the sideline yesterday. He was about ready to eat his play sheet a couple times. Yeah. He was so angry and so frustrated at a couple of these mistakes. So they're going to make the playoff, I do believe. I think they're going to be a wild card. I think Arizona's going to win that division. But when the rubber meets the road, as they say, we're going to find out pretty quickly as to whether or not that was a huge mistake on the part of Sean McVay or they did the right thing. And the only way that they can do the right thing is if they go to the Super Bowl in their home stadium and win it like Tampa did last year.
I know the division is not very good at all, the NFC East. Dallas is on top. They're 7-4. They've lost a couple of games in a row. Is there any reason for them to be worried about their division?
Not after the ugly Giants beat the ugly Eagles yesterday. Maybe Washington can give them a little bit of a push like they did last year if they win tonight and beat Seattle. But, you know, Dallas has been hindered by a number of injuries, and now they're losing their head coach due to COVID for Thursday night's game. So they need to get Amari Cooper back. They need to get CeeDee Lamb back. They got to get the Marcus Lawrence back, and they got to get Randy Gregory back. They can still lose another game or two, and I still think they'll host a home playoff game. They'll probably be the number four seed in the NFC. But when they are healthy, they are going to be a bitch to play against, much like Tampa Bay last year. You know, Tampa wasn't healthy all year long. They took off after the 12th week of the season. They had to go on the road and win a game or a couple games, you know, as the wild card. But once they got totally healthy, man, you saw a totally different team. And I think that's who the Cowboys are going to be once we get to the playoffs.
So Tampa's still the best team in the NFC? I mean, they've had their moments where it looks bad, but yesterday Tom Brady didn't have to do a whole lot against a decent defense there on the road.
I still think Green Bay is the best team, and I think that Arizona, if Kyler Murray comes back and he's healthy and he's going to start running around doing his thing again, those two teams are right there with Tampa. You know, and it certainly helps to have Rob Gronkowski back. You know, immediately they got him involved yesterday against Indianapolis. You know, I give my buddy Frank Reich a lot of credit. There are a couple times where he went for it on fourth down yesterday. You know, Coach Cowher screaming, kick the field goal, kick the field goal. I was like, Coach, he's playing against Tom Brady. You don't want to kick field goals. You want to go for touchdowns. And unfortunately for the Indianapolis Colts, who had a sack fumble, you had a muff punt, and you had an interception by Carson Wentz that ultimately cost them the game. But three turnovers, they were right there in the end. The Colts got a good team. I just think that Tampa's not as good as it was last year at the present time.
Hey, what do you look for, Boomer, when you're deciding whether a quarterback has it or not after he's been in the league a couple years? You must talk about Daniel Jones all the time. How long are you supposed to wait? How long are you supposed to wait for a quarterback to have a light bulb go on?
You know, I think they'll give most quarterbacks 3 years. They may give Daniel one more year here. There have been moments here where he really looks like he's got it. And when you look back to his rookie season, he is one of three quarterbacks who has thrown for over 300 yards and two touchdowns without any interceptions in a game. And he did it three times, I believe, or four times his rookie season. I think Justin Herbert did it five times. And the reason, you know, that's a big deal is because, you know, rookies aren't supposed to put those kinds of numbers up. And that's why everybody got so excited about Daniel Jones here 2 years ago. But that was under Pat Shurmur. That's whose offense was here. That's the offense they're running in Denver now. It's Joe Judge the last 2 years here, and they just fired Jason Garrett. So, you know, now Daniel Jones has got to deal yet with another offensive coordinator. This will be his third in 4 years. And I'm not so sure that they believe that he's the guy right now. He's making too many mistakes. He looks too fidgety, too skittish in the pocket for me. I've been very open, honest, you know, growing up with him here in New York the last 3 years. And I think that this year his performance has diminished significantly. And I think it may be because of the uncertainty around him. He may make somebody else look like a great coach somewhere else if he decides to leave New York or if they decide to move on from him.
You know, the Bills started the season 4-1, and then in the last 6 weeks now, they've alternated wins and losses. So what do you make of them?
You can't stop the run. You can't win a game in the NFL, especially in November, December, and January. You know, everybody here in the Northeast, and I think the Midwest, will all tell you the same thing, especially if you have an outdoor stadium. You got to be able to run the ball, and, you know, that's got to be one of your signature aspects of your team, but you also got to be able to stop the run on a consistent basis. And right now the Buffalo Bills have been exposed by both the Tennessee Titans, and they were exposed by the Jonathan Taylor-led Colts. Interesting, next Monday night they play New England. New England is a run-first team, even though Mac Jones is having a great year. It's going to be really interesting to see how Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels attack this Bills defense. I think it will be run first like it's been pretty much the entire year for them. And I would think that they're going to try to do exactly what the Indianapolis Colts went in and did to them a few weeks back. It'll be a tighter game because I don't think Josh Allen will make as many mistakes against a New England team that he knows very well, as opposed to the Colts team that absolutely embarrassed him 2 weeks ago.
Hey, Boomer, you're the best, and our Thanksgiving gift to you was no Danny Parkins. So congrats. I hope you enjoyed it.
My Lord.
I always do, Maddie. Thank you so much. And Chris, always great to talk to you. And tell Danny I said hello and I missed him.
We will. Thank you, Boomer. It's Boomer Esiason.
Okay, guys. See you, guys.
We'll see you, man. Boomer Esiason from WFAN and from CBS Sports. I know. You got to.
You guys are brutal.
You have to dunk on the guy who's not here. I assume that I get dunked on a lot when I'm not here. I should, you know, and, you know, you miss day because you're sick, you know. You're just going to get pounded. That's how it works.
When I am in, Matt, I have never said anything bad about you.
I don't believe that.
That's true. Ask anybody. I've never said a bad word about you.
Ranger, one of my favorite sports stories of the weekend comes from the world of hockey. Hockey. But it's not really about hockey. But you're going to love this if you missed it, and I bet you did. We'll do that next. Parkins and Spiegel with Ronji and for Danny on the Score.
And now we'll get a little shoving match after the whistle here. Maybe a little more in the corner with Lemieux and Lazard involved. Brady Tkachuk in there, and Tkachuk is all tangled up right in the corner, and linesman Libor Suchanek trying to break up Tkachuk and Lemieux.
Well, this is a family feud that goes back a lot longer than just the last few seasons these guys have played against each other. Their fathers have battled hard over the years as well, and these two guys, whether they're lying down or standing up, they're still throwing punches.
Battle in the bloodlines here. There's some extra shots being given here.
Oh, no, they're on the ground. They haven't
stopped.
They're
still going.
And I don't know if he thinks he bit him or...
He is. Yeah, he said he bit me. Don't read lips, kids, but Tkachuk trying to claim that Lemieux has bit him here.
Oh, my God. Yes. You know those names? It's Keith Kachuk's kid, Brady Tkachuk. And then Claude Lemieux's kid, Brendan Lemieux. Their fathers fought each other in the World Cup of Hockey in 1996. So this is indeed a second-generation hockey brawl that went on the other night. And Brendan Lemieux bit Brady Tkachuk. These names are preposterous. But he bit him, dude. He bit him twice. He bit a dude twice. And I here's what really caught my eye and my ear about it is what Brady Tkachuk had to say about Brendan Lemieux. This is, what would you say about a guy who you fought with? He's a fourth liner, by the way. Brendan Lemieux is a fourth liner, been doing a nice job for them, supposedly, but he's very physical and, you know, he's a gritty, not as much skill as the other guys, but damn it, I'm going to find a way to be important sort of hockey player. Listen to Brady Tkachuk talk about Brendan Lemieux, who bit him.
I think it was the most gutless thing somebody could ever do. Not even children bite. This guy is just, you can ask any one of his teammates. Nobody wants to play with him. This guy is a bad guy, bad teammate, you know, focus on himself all the time. Just the guy's a joke. He shouldn't be in this league. This guy's gutless. I know no other team wants him. He's going to keep, you know, begging to be in the NHL, but no team's going to want him. This guy's just an absolute joke and just a bad guy. And it's gutless, but I can't really wrap my head around it. Children don't even do this. This guy's just a bad guy and not even a good player either.
Code of conduct broken, obviously, big time. How shocked were you when that happened?
It's outrageous. It's kids don't even do that anymore. It's babies do that. And the fact that he decides it's, I don't even know what he's thinking. He's just a complete brickhead. He's got nothing up there. Bad guy, bad player, but what a joke he is. So it's a couple more years of, I don't even think it's a couple more years. It's ticking for him. And nobody wants him.
Oh, man.
Oh, damn.
Dude.
Damn.
Have you ever heard a takedown like that? Just a complete, he's a brickhead, he's gutless, he sucks.
I don't even know what he's thinking. He's just a complete brickhead.
A kids don't even
When is the last time? They probably do.
Of course they do.
Yeah, biting?
Yeah,
kids are biting each other all the time.
Absolutely.
Kid bit me at Mariano's the other day.
Well, what were you doing? You reaching into the stroller?
It was a bit of a scandal that happened with a former television broadcaster.
Oh, I'm talking about Mav?
Yes.
Is that who you're talking about?
Yes. Marv Albert. A sports biter.
Hey, listen, guys, some people like what they like.
Oh, man. You know? Marv survived, but yeah.
As one famous disgraced comedian said, everybody in the world knows what his thing is now.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Everybody knows what Marv's thing is.
He liked to bite people during encounters.
Yeah, I mean, they're into it.
That must have been just like the worst thing ever to go through, you know? It deserved, right? Because he was having affairs and he was being abusive during those affairs. But do you remember one of the details that came out was that the woman went to grab his hair to fight back and his hair came off? Remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
What I do remember was, okay, was there leather involved?
You're with me, leather? Is that what you're thinking of?
No. That's Chris Berman.
That's Chris Berman.
I'm talking like, were there outfits? Mm-hmm. Like leather outfits involved or whips or something?
I don't remember. I don't recall that.
Okay.
You can look that up on your own time and then clear your search history.
Oh, no, I'm the only person looking at this laptop.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
But
Luis Suarez, the soccer player, did it to a bunch of different people. Like three different times he bit somebody. And then the one I always think of is Tree Rollins. Tree Rollins bit Danny Ainge lying on the floor of an NBA arena in the middle of a brawl. Because the headline was Tree Bites Man was the headline that came out of that. Because I would have had money on Danny Ainge being the biter, but it was Tree Rollins who actually did the biting.
Miguel Olivo a biter, huh? I'm seeing this now. Miguel Olivo bit a teammate in AAA.
Really?
AAA Albuquerque.
I don't remember that.
Alex Guerrero. I don't know about that either.
You think that's the same Alex Guerrero with the steroids?
the Tom Brady guy?
That's why he bit. He wanted more steroids. He wouldn't give it to him.
Just bus tossing people. No, I remember Alex Guerrero. Right? Dodger? Alex Guerrero?
Not sure.
Okay.
Speaking of Dodgers, though, yeah. What's the manager out there that we think is a bad guy?
You think Dave Roberts?
You think
is
Dave
a bad
Roberts?
Guy.
I've heard Dave Roberts bit somebody last year.
Not.
Wait a minute.
Not true.
Of all years to bite someone. That's,
Dave Roberts bit someone last year.
Why do you think he's a bad guy?
I've just heard. I've heard from a couple people that Dave Roberts is a horrible person.
Are you just making that up?
Yes.
No.
Okay. You are, aren't you?
I'm not.
I don't just
say things and hope they stick to the wall.
That's your whole game. That is your entire game.
I've heard from a couple of reliable sources that Dave Roberts is just a horrible person.
Wow. All right.
By the way, it was women's underwear, not leather. So Mav had something about women's underwear wearing them and then biting. Now, at that time, like I feel like if you did that now and it got out, that would be embarrassing. But I think it's much worse in 1997 when it happened. Don't you think?
Don't guys pay to do that now?
You just sort of figure out what you want and go pay for it, theoretically.
Of course. But more people have more embarrassing stuff out in the public now than ever before. So I feel like Marv would have just been one of another, he just would have been another creep. That, you know, there are a lot of creeps out there.
Well, there were assault charges, right? I mean, she filed charges. There was a trial. He let it go to trial. That I think, was the big mistake. If you know that stuff's going to come out. And I assume he lost in the trial.
Yeah, no, it was It was an assault case. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how it turned out. He pled guilty to assault and battery.
He did.
And then he was fired
by
NBC. But in 1997, that's a kind of time where you don't hear a lot about those things.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pre-Clinton, right? That was pre the Clinton-Lewinsky stuff, which was taking everybody's attention. So that would have been a really bad time for this to happen.
Marv's news cycle did not last so long because he was bailed out of said things. Yes.
He was.
Pat Manley's going to join us at about 5:25 or so. Lots of MLB stuff out there percolating, including just a crazy bat crap playoff proposal, which apparently is in the owner's upcoming CBA argument. Like, the owners want something. I'm going to explain this to you, what the owners want in the playoff thing. This just came out just mere moments ago. I'll share with you in a second. I'm Parkins and Spiegel with Chris Ranji and for Danny on the Score.
It's like, all right, let's get to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the part of baseball that Danny really likes. Danny out sick today, hopefully back tomorrow. Spiegs and Chris Ranji here with you. So Jesse Rogers, who you'll hear referenced in the open at 5 o'clock, as a matter of fact, just filed this over at ESPN, that Major League Baseball's expanded playoff proposal as part of the new CBA agreement includes the ability for division winners to pick their wild card opponent.
That was floated out last year, wasn't it?
So it was this version floated out here? 14 teams. 14!
Yeah.
7 from each league to make the playoffs. 4 more than currently play. The 3 division winners, each joined by 4 wild card teams. The team with the best record would get a bye into the best of 5 division series. So one team gets a bye. The remaining 2 division winners would have a television special on a Sunday night to pick their wild card opponent from the bottom 3 wild card teams. The wild card team with the best record would play the wild card team, which wasn't picked by a division winner. So anyway, the 2 division winners would get to pick their wild card opponent. And once matchups are set, the higher seeded team would host all 3 games in a best of 3 wild card round. Winners in the wild card round would then advance to the division series, and it goes on from there. So that is one thing that the owners are going to be presenting, Chris Ranji.
I think I don't like it. I think I don't like the idea of allowing a team to pick its opponent, but there's a layer of added insult that might be intriguing, and it might make that game even more interesting if a team is allowed to do it.
He's
like, there's something about
it.
They're like, oh, you think you could beat us, do you? Okay. Like, I remember when I think they came up with it. I don't know if it was during the COVID year or if it was just this past season that idea was floated out. But I remember thinking, okay, like, that sounds so weird. There's also something kind of awesome about it. I think, again, I lean toward, that's probably a dumb idea. But part of me likes the stupid idea.
Costas had floated this thing that he says he got from Jerry Reinsdorf that I always liked better. But it does have the 4 wild card teams, so 3 division winners, 4 wild card teams. So if that's what you want, then you get the 14 teams are in. Okay. But all 3 of the division winners get to sit for 3 days. They all get to sit. So winning the division is a big, big deal because you can rest and set your rotation up as needed and have a little time. And you don't have to do the following, which is the 4 wildcard teams pair up for 2 coin flip games. So you have 2 winner-take-all coin flip games. And then the winners of those 2 games play another coin flip game. So you get 3 coin flip games in each league. Oh, so if you're a wild card team, it is truly wild. You get in, but you got to play. You have to come through a gauntlet of winning 2 coin flip games.
Okay.
And then you're on. Mm-hmm.
You play right away, too, right? Like on Monday, you don't get a day off before it starts.
Correct.
Now that I like. If we're going to do the wild card thing, the wild cards should be at a huge disadvantage. Correct. Or as much of a disadvantage as they can give. So I'm totally on board with that. There was another idea that was floated. I don't think it's here unless I'm missing it. But the idea that you, if you have the wild card, that you play a three-game series, but and if you're a wild card and you're playing against a division winner, the division winner automatically starts the three-game series up one game to nothing. That was, I know I heard that idea. It might have been in 2020 when they were talking about, you know, the future. That was intriguing to me, too. I don't know if it's my favorite idea, but it's just something that, that sort of raised an eyebrow. I love, Spiegs, and I don't know how you feel about this, just in general, I love the idea of expanding the playoffs. I know a lot of purists hate it. I don't. I think the idea of having a dozen teams, and I can live with 14 also, but I think 12 feels like a pretty good number for me as well. I like more cities involved late in the year, especially when baseball, when it really starts to get good, is the month that people start to stop paying attention. Because they're going to start watching football now, because football starts in September. NFL starts in September. College is starting in September. So at least on those weekends, you're losing the baseball audience. I love the idea of more cities having a rooting interest later in the year. So if it's a dozen teams, and I can even live with 14. I know a lot of people don't like that, but I would rather have 14 than 10.
Yeah,
I personally would rather have 14 over 10.
You would? If 14 playoff teams over 10 playoff teams?
And part of it, you know what else?
I mean, if they're going to get in, if the bottom four, if you're going to expand it that much, they got to pay for it. So, like, the thing I like about the Costas plan is that they really have to pay for it. You have to win two coin flip games. And then the added thing is then for those two that emerge and they play a best of seven for the LDS in this plan, the format is 2-2-3. You only get two home games if you're the wild card team. So this gives a home game back to the team, back to the division. So the division winner gets five home games out of a seven-game series. So I like this one the best. The one that they're bringing up is like 2020, but it just adds the picking teams component to it.
Yeah, and I like the idea of getting the extra home games more than you would, or the extra home game more than you would typically get. Look, if you want to make divisions be a thing, then make them really be a thing. Where if you win it, it's something. And it's something that everybody wants and strives for. Not just a, hey, we want to squeak in, or, you know, we want to be just good enough to be a wild card. And that's good enough for us because that's a playoff appearance. I know what the players are worried about, though. They're worried that if teams think they can be a wild card, they won't spend. They won't try in an offseason to improve a roster, which then brings salaries across the board down a little bit. I know they're worried about that. So do you think something like this, if they were to do it this way and they would add the teams but tell them, look, you're going to get in, but your road to getting beyond that first round is going to be way harder than it used to be. Would that incentivize teams then in the offseason to improve their rosters more?
I don't know, because I could also see like a team deciding, well, we don't have to worry about improving. We still might make the playoffs if we have 83 wins, something like that. They still might find a way to squeak in. You know?
That's what I'm wondering, if that's good enough for them. Like, is getting into a wild card situation and having a terrible disadvantage good enough for you as an organization?
No, it shouldn't be.
I think some organizations it would be.
Hey, happy Hanukkah, by the way, to all of the Jewish peeps out there, and especially you non-Jews. Happy Hanukkah, especially to the non-Jews. It's a delightful holiday. It is. It's very nice. It's super fun. It's really, though.
Happy Chanukah. I have no idea what Chanukah is.
Forgot about that.
Who's that?
Smokey Robinson. It's Smokey Robinson.
Yeah.
How did Smokey make it through his whole life not knowing what Hanukkah was?
I can't believe he's dead now, too.
No, that's Little Richard.
Like yesterday.
That's just Little Richard.
Happy Chanukah. I have no idea what Chanukah is.
Wait, was this a... Was that a cameo?
It was a cameo. Somebody asked him to wish Happy Chanukah to a girl that grew up where Smokey grew up. And he delivered. It was beautifully delivered cameo. And then at the end, he butchers Hanukkah.
Quit spelling it different.
It's all different ways. People. I know, it's difficult. It's a super minor miracle, Ranji, as far as like things that God did. Like they needed oil. They needed enough oil to light a candle for 8 nights after the temple had been destroyed. And they only had enough oil to last 1 night because it took like 8 days somehow to make the oil. So through the miracle of God, the oil lasted for 8 nights instead of 1 night.
Oh.
Right?
Light it up!
Yeah. So as I do every year, I explained this miracle to my son, right? Explained it to the boy. And he's 9 now. He's got thoughts about everything. So he's like, "What? Tell me about Hanukkah again." So I explained the miracle. And it said, you know, the oil lasted 8 nights. They thought it was only going to last 1 night. He paused, and then he said to me, "Do you think maybe they just measured the amount of oil wrong? Is that possible?" And I said, "Kid, that is absolutely possible." I laughed. What do you? Because he's right. They could have just complete right. My entire religion could be a sham based on poor measuring of oil. It's entirely possible.
Well, do you have enough? And this is night 2, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have enough candles and or oil?
I got enough candles. Yeah. Okay. I'm all good on that. I told him it was more likely that somebody snuck in to the synagogue and pretended, you know, and added a little oil every night. And then the next day said, "Oh my God, can you look? The oil's, it keeps lasting. See, God does love us. You guys should listen to me. I know about this stuff."
I got a legit question about the menorahs.
Yeah.
Do you guys leave the candles lit the entire 8 days, or do you kind of blow them out at the end of the night?
What happens is that they're candles, so they burn themselves out.
Yeah, you're supposed to let them burn these themselves candles out, right?
Yeah, they burn themselves out. They're not eternal, these candles.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, how big of a candle are you putting in the menorah? When you go to bed
at
night...
That's not what you were saying.
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah.
When you go to bed at night,
Shane,
are you blowing out the candle that you lit that
these
night?
These are not like a bathroom scented candle. You don't have like eight of those. The candles are smaller and they're thin.
How long do those last?
45 minutes, maybe.
For real?
Yeah, something like that.
And if,
when you do every day.
Oh my God!
Yes, he did.
That one just came.
Yeah.
Oh my God! It shouldn't have. You should have stayed with you, probably. My God, Shane.
Shane is do some things well.
Yes, we do. That's right, Maniscalco. He said the Jews do something well.
Listen, I'm pretty confident that you, Spiegs, and your people, you, the members of the tribe, would not call Shane a mensch. He's not a mensch.
Not after.
Because he's kind of a bad guy.
Yeah. I'm so not a bad guy.
I mean...
He did. He did hit rock bottom this weekend, though.
Shane is a high-ranking member of the Taliban.
No. Something happened to Shane. I'll bring it up next hour. Something happened to Shane, and I empathize very, very strongly with that. And it needs to stop. Okay. Maybe it already has. But anyway, Pat Mattingly is going to join us at 5:25. The power of the Twitch mob, the listeners for Parkinson and Spiegel, they pulled something out of a White Sox player. You need to hear that as well. And what exactly are the Cubs and Sox doing while every other team is doing much more than them? We'll discuss. Keep it here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.